Good morning. Welcome to worship on this day the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you know that today is your last day on this earth, how would you go about it? The answer may or may not be as easy to answer as we might think, even for us as Christians. Is the new man or the old man going to answer first? Ponder this as we reflect on the word of our God for this second Sunday of end time, which also focuses in on the last judgment. We ask God then to bless us in our worship of Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we now turn our attention to our first hymn found in Christian worship, the red hymnals, hymn 230. Please rise as we continue on page 3 of our worship bulletin. O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth shall declare your praise.
Hasten to save me, O God.
O Lord, come quickly to help me.
Give glory to God, our light and our life.
Come, O God, let us worship.
Come and to ring with thanksgiving.
Please be seated. On this second Sunday of end time, with the focus being on the last judgment, our first lesson comes to us from the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, pointing out the fact that there will be a book that will be opened. What will that book say about you? Ponder that as we hear these words of our Lord. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. This is the word of our Lord. For our psalm, we'll join together in singing this psalm, Psalm 90. Just make a note, when we get to the last verse, before the glory be to the Father, satisfy us in the morning, there will be another refrain just before that verse. In keeping with that theme of the last judgment, our second lesson emphasizes that it's not a matter of if Jesus will come again, but when he will come again. And through faith in Jesus, we are prepared no matter when it comes. So let us give thanks to God for this gift. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of our Lord. Excellent words. Thank you, children. Please rise for the gospel reading. Take it from the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, where the question is asked, are you a sheep or a goat? And how can people know which one you are? We hear these words of our Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the gospel of our Lord. Let us join in confessing the Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I would ask if there are any children who would like to come forward for a children's devotion. I showered today for this event, so have a seat right up here. Yeah, right up here. There you go. Perfect. Beautiful. How you doing today? Good. All right. What's this a picture of? Goat and a sheep. Can you easily tell the difference between the two? Yeah. One has horns, another doesn't. All right, one is brown, one's white. Okay, so there's a way to tell a difference between the two, between a sheep and a goat. The Bible, today's reading even, in fact, refers to sheep and goats, calling human beings sheep or goats. Jesus refers to believers, those who believe in Jesus, as sheep, and those who don't believe in Jesus as goats. How did we become a sheep? By believing in God. And what did God do for us? Jesus died on the cross for us. Excellent answer, right? And what has Jesus opened up to us? His love. His love. Excellent. And what else? Heaven, right? We are sheep who believe in Jesus, who died for us and has called us to love him, and one day will take us to heaven. Now, There is to be a difference between believers and unbelievers, between sheep and goats. How can people know that you're a sheep for Jesus? What do you think? How can people know that you are a sheep who believes in Jesus? What do you say? Yeah, if you tell them about Jesus, good answer. What else can we do to let people know that we are sheep? When you go home today, what could you do to let people know that you are a sheep, that you love Jesus? Anybody ever vacuum the floor? Yeah? Can you come over and vacuum? No, I'm just kidding. Right? Do you have to be asked to vacuum the floor? Could you just say, hey, can I vacuum the floor out of love for Jesus? Being kind to people? Right? To our friends, saying nice things. Those are ways that we can show that we love Jesus. And by so doing, we can help others see that we are sheep. We are people who believe in Jesus, who died for our sins, who has called us to love him by loving others, and who is going to take us to heaven.
So there should be a difference between believers and unbelievers, between sheep and goats. What noise do sheep make? Bah, right? For us as believers in Jesus, may the noise we make be one of love. A love for Jesus who loved us, to call us to be his sheep, to follow him. And that's why we're here today, to learn more about Jesus, to be in his word, so that we can love him more and live for him more. Let's pray about this. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to call us to Jesus, to love one another as we love you, and open heaven up to us. Help us, help others see that we are sheep, that we are believers who love Jesus, and help us share Jesus with others, that they too may be sheep who love you now and will live with you and us forever in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming up, and continue to be those great sheep for Jesus. We'll continue with our next hymn.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance, and this possible through our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our attention back to the second lesson for today, where we hear once again from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow sheep, by grace through faith, 40 plus, 26 plus, 2 plus, 151,600 plus. Can you guess what these numbers represent? A couple of hints. Teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And this one, the wages of sin is death. More numbers could be cited to make the following point, these represent people, in most if not all cases, from our human point of view, have left us too soon. People who died by recent close-by fires, by gunfire in a church setting, among our own church family this year, and the last number used is the number of people calculated by one website who die daily, either by natural causes, though death in a way is not natural, or by some other cause. Death is all around us, and it could be calling for any one of us today or tomorrow, or only the Lord knows when. Since this is the case, how are we to go about living today? Our Lord has an answer for us, and in a nutshell, it is this. Live like each day is your last. Now, this is not meant to be a morbid thought, rather, just the opposite. And Scripture also makes it clear that a day to end all days is coming. Since this is the case, we are encouraged to live in light of this day coming. No surprises. The Lord tells us through His Apostle Paul. Now, brothers and sisters, Paul uses these terms to emphasize the oneness we have through Christ. Brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, like a trap shuts on a mouse. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, once started, no going back. And they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness that is clueless, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Bottom line, death and or judgment could come at any time. So let us not be caught living the eat, drink, and be merry lifestyle, a sign of unbelief, which will not go well for us upon our death or upon the day of judgment. Think of the warning signs the Lord God puts into our daily life so that we will not be caught off guard. And as we do that, keep in mind the Lord is not always the one, the cause of the tragedy, though He is aware of what is going to happen when, and allows things to happen which we at times simply cannot explain or understand. Yet He has made it clear because of sin existing in our world, there will be such things as death. Death coming to the people of this world, even in ways that we cannot always imagine. Now, one of the reasons we cannot fathom and have difficulty swallowing some of the horrific tragedies that have taken place, such as the church shooting in Texas and the concert shooting in Vegas, is that we assume all people are basically good. You and I know from the Bible and from our own interactions with people, as well as a reflection of ourselves, that this simply is not the case. We are capable of some awful things, such as the hatred we can have toward people who do not look or act like us. The pranks we pull on students who are not a part of the cool group. The attempts to better ourselves at the office at the expense of our coworker. The thoughts of lust and coveting we hold on to, and only by the grace of God we do not act on each one or none of them. Let us then, brothers and sisters, not think any one of us is above sin. And as the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans, let us not think more of ourselves than we ought. Thus, the signs to remind us of our own condition and what is up with this world. Earthquakes, fires, accidents, shootings, thefts, and the list goes on and on. Such do not mean that the end of this world is upon us, but they are signals that it is getting closer. Jesus tells us through the Gospel of Matthew, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. You will be hated by all nations because of me, Jesus. Many will turn away from the faith. False prophets will appear. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And there are other places in Scripture which make this same point. Brothers and sisters, by grace through faith, live like each day is your last. You and I can live this way because we have been given the ability to do so in a God-pleasing manner and in a way that will benefit to fellow human beings while in this world. The world needs you, though the world may not admit to this truth. What benefit do we gain from those who sleep their way through this life? What benefit do we gain from those who live their life in a drunken stupor? Those who be caught off guard when death or the day of judgment comes are like those who are asleep, unaware of what is happening, though they should not be. And as alcohol dulls the senses, so people have become dull to the warning cry the Lord puts out there through his people, you and me. To this, Jesus says, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Self-control is a word repeated numerous times in the Bible, so the Lord must be telling us important by using this word so often. With all the distractions that are in this world, some of which we bring into our own life, and others the world flaunts before us, we need to practice self-control. A person who receives $100 of income and then immediately goes and spends it on wants while neglecting needs is a person who needs to practice self-control. And for those of us who watch sports, athletes, for example, are another category of people who need to practice self-control. How many times have we seen a football player shove another player only to have a costly penalty called, which then could end up losing the game for that team? All because that player did not practice self-control. There is a time and a place to address what was said about your mother. What used to be settled by fists is now done by guns, and the loss of life cannot be undone. Our society is growing in wickedness and self-centeredness. But this too should really not come as a surprise to us, as we have raised generations to be self-absorbed, self-centered, and also accountable to no one. And anything goes society is a dangerous one. Brothers and sisters, live like each day is your last, because it could be, due to a variety of reasons. We can live this way because we have been given the ability to do so, to do what is necessary, to live not in fear, but rather with hope and with confidence. Jesus is at the heart of the hope and the confidence that we have in life and in death. Our text reminds us of this truth. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. In this instance, if the Lord would come and call us while we would be physically sleeping, we would still be with the Lord forever in heaven. Entry into heaven is not dependent on what we have to do. Rather, it is dependent on what Jesus already has done for us. He died in our place so that we might live, so that we might have forgiveness, so that we might have peace now and into eternity. All the times we have fallen for the distractions that are in this world and neglected opportunities to grow in faith and godly living. All the times that we have hurt someone, and the list of sins could go on, could it not? What has Jesus done with all those sins? Paid for them in full. We are forgiven. Amazing, isn't it? Hard to fathom. And this is one of the reasons why there are too many people who do not believe it. That amazing truth. Because they allow their ability to rationalize to get in the way. Faith in Jesus is a gift which keeps on giving. It expresses a confidence that God will do what he says he will do. Faith then leads to love. Faith and action, living each day as an expression of thanks. Hope then sustains our faith and love. Hope encourages us, you and me, to grow in faith and in love. So, dear friends, confidently live like each day is your last. As stated, the world needs you. It needs you to share what you have been given. Closer to home, your fellow Christians need what you have been given. Who of us does not need a word of encouragement every now and then? News of the mass shootings can cause us to question God. Is he really in control? Satan would like nothing better for us to question God and to even get angry at God, as he does not seem to carry out life the way we would like him to carry it out. Well, such a thought process of Satan misses the point. Disaster and tragedies, though we do not want them to happen, are used to keep us attentive to what matters most in this life, and that is getting to the next life with Jesus. As was mentioned a few weeks back, God does not take pleasure in the death of anyone. And so he has given to us what is needed, not to avoid death, but rather to stay alive with Jesus now and into eternity, to have that peace and joy that cannot be replaced or taken away from us, even after we have died. Read through John 11. Not an easy concept to wrap our minds around, but we do not need to. That is the beauty of the gift of faith. And so the world needs you. Even as the world is out to destroy you. The world says it is tolerant, but it ends up speaking out of both sides of its mouth, as it openly displays its hatred toward Christianity. Maybe deep down it is because they know you are right as a Christian, but they do not, in their sinful stubbornness, want to admit that truth. The world, though, does not need you and me to be in their face, yet it does need us to live Christ-like lives. Paul speaks to this in the chapter just before our text when he writes, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." The goal of such living is to be ready to give the reason, the answer, for the motivation behind our living Christ-like lives. If we are putting one on night after night, or we are getting it on with someone who is not our spouse, how are we gaining respect for Christ and showing love for him, as well as gaining and showing love for our respect and our fellow human beings? The world does not need us to act like them. It needs more of Christ. As we gather here, we are being equipped more and more to live in this way. We are here today, alert to what could happen as we gather together in public places. And yet we are here today to glorify our all-knowing and all-powerful God, not letting disasters and tragedies get the best of us. We are here today to grow in his word. We are here today to grow better, to go with that word, to be his witnesses, And it cannot be said enough that the world needs this. It needs you. Because another thing we know about this world, it is not going to last forever as it is. A day of days is coming. The time is coming when God will have said, enough. It is time to separate the sheep from the goats and to publicly recognize the sheep for all the good that they have done, especially the good that was done without looking for a pat on the back. Brothers and sisters, we just go and do it. The good that God wants us to do. If we are not thinking in this way, well, there is only one cure for that, and that is being right here in the Word of our Lord. The Word which keeps the focus on Christ and what He has done for our salvation. And in this way, the love of Christ compels us to love one another by way of our speech and by way of our actions. This, dear friends, is living like each day is our last. Not a morbid thought, not an excuse to party hardy, but rather the freedom to live with confidence and contentment and at peace on the inside, even as we deal with all the no-surprise turmoil on the outside. And so encourage one another with these words of our Lord. In this way, you and I and others will be ready to answer God when He asks that question. Why should I let you into my heaven? The answer, simply put, Jesus is my Savior who opened heaven up to me. Yes, live like each day is your last, in peace and with joy. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and into eternity. Amen.
We pray. Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, dear Lord, from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church on page 11. We pray. Out of the depths we cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear our voices. Heavenly Father, we confess with sorrow that we have sinned and deserve only your anger and punishment. We confess with joy that your unfailing love has redeemed us. Around us we see the birth pains of the last days, war, famine, earthquakes, false prophets, spiritual apathy.
Use these signs to remind us that we do not know the day or the hour when Christ will come again.
Keep us faithful to your word. Send your spirit to strengthen our faith so that we are always prepared for your son's return as judge. Build our fellowship of love as brothers and sisters in faith. Great physician of body and soul, we commend all among us who at this time are not doing well physically. Continue to provide them with the care they need, along with the ability to persevere through what is impacting their life. Above all, keep them focused on your faithfulness and provide them comfort, knowing that these earthly hardships do not separate them from your love and promise of heaven. Freedom is a privilege, O Lord, first of all from you by grace through faith in Jesus. Without your freedom, we would still be living in our sins and without the hope amidst sin's consequences. The freedoms you have granted our country also are a privilege. We thank you along with the men and women who have served and are serving our country in order to secure and maintain the freedoms we are able to enjoy. May we not take for granted what these men and women have done and are doing on our behalf. Keep them in your care. And may we not take for granted the freedom you have given to us in Jesus. Birthdays are another reminder of your grace, O Lord, as you are the giver of life, physical and spiritual. For those among us privileged to celebrate another year of grace, continue to open their eyes to the blessings you have and will put into their life that they may reflect glory and praise back to you. And marriage is a gift from you, O Lord, and ought to be lived by us as a reflection of your grace toward us. Thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. Heavenly Father, we eagerly wait for Jesus to come again and make all things new. May he find us, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, faithfully enduring to the end, through the power of your Holy Spirit.
Come, Lord Jesus, may your grace be with us. Amen.
We continue with our next hymn, and please note the verses that we will sing.
Thank you.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord God Almighty, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may always look forward to the end of this present evil age and to the day of your righteous judgment. Keep us steadfast in true and living faith, and present us at last holy and blameless before you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Let us praise the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Musicians today, to Marty and Vince, thank you, and the Proclamation Choir and directors, thank you. Beautiful job. To God be the glory for using your talents in this way. Just also a thank you to our veterans among us and everywhere for your service, and also we keep in our prayers those who are currently serving to defend our earthly freedoms, and we pray God continues to watch over all of them, and by his grace do we go forward as a country and also as a church. Speaking of going forward as a church then, Bible studies, just keep in mind the current series that we are going through. They're planned to wrap up at the end of November this month, and then we'll have a two-week special session, the first two Sundays in December, and then the last three Sundays of December, there will not be a Bible study with the Christmas children's service, and then New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve before that. But then come January, we'll start fresh with a group of new Bible study topics. So look forward to hearing more about that. Further reflections, questions for individual as well as group study can also be found in our Facebook page, so check that out. A note about Thanksgiving service. It'll be held here Wednesday, November 22nd at 7 p.m. And then that same service will also be held the next day at Hope in Penryn at 10 o'clock. So hopefully one of those services will be convenient for you. Wednesday, 7 o'clock here, Thursday, Hope, Penryn, 10 a.m. Ushers, please take note of the bulletin that's written for you. It's in the weekly news about a meeting coming up December 3rd. Food will be provided, so we need RSVPs from you. So again, see that note in the bulletin for more details. Continue to keep Mr. Bauer in your prayers as he continues to deliberate the other call that the Lord God has given to him to serve at Michigan Lutheran Seminary in Saginaw, Michigan. So he would appreciate, and we would too, not only your prayers, but also your constructive comments on where you see how the Lord can use his gifts in service to his kingdom. We selfishly pray it's here at St. Mark's, but may we pray that the Lord's will be done through Mr. Bauer. For more details and timely information, I direct your attention to the weekly news. Printed copies can be found in the entryway, and also you can find it online. You can receive it by email. That'd be great too. So before we get to the Wells Connection, just take an opportunity to meet and greet those who are next to you, and after the Wells Connection, meet and greet other people. We're all one in Christ. Let's encourage one another. Great Wells Connection. Let's enjoy it, this work we do together.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. One of the advantages of walking together is that, as a synod, we can keep an eye on overall trends and then find ways to respond. This 30,000-foot view is critical as we respond to the opportunities and the challenges that congregations face in the 21st century. With that in mind, the Wells Commission on Congregational Counseling has been conducting a major new study on church membership that has important ramifications. Pastor Jonathan Hine takes us through the highlights.
You or someone you know has said it. Years ago, our church had a ton of kids. Now it's mostly gray hair. There is no question that many Wells congregations are growing older. Many have experienced an extended period of numerical decline. So for more than 2 years, our synod has been studying this issue. Over the last half century, it's obvious how gracious God has been to us, allowing our synod to retain our faithfulness to the truth of Scripture. Plus, Wells has started some 500 new congregations that currently care for more than 100,000 souls. In that same half century, Wells' gospel efforts have increased around the globe exponentially. Counting those in fellowship with Wells around the world, our overall numbers are higher than ever. But here in the United States, the last 25 years give us pause. After peaking in 1990 at more than 420,000 souls, Wells baptized membership has decreased by 14% since. Communicant membership is down 9%. What is contributing to the statistical decline? Several factors. First, families today are having fewer children. Second, the number of Wells members dying and going to heaven is increasing as the overall population ages. And one of the biggest factors is members who drift away from the Wells, what we often call backdoor losses. Since 1986, we have averaged about 8,000 backdoor losses each year, almost 250,000 people in total. A large proportion of these losses are younger members. Lastly, the demographic trend away from rural areas and toward urban living has also had an impact. There are more than 100 churches, mostly in rural areas, that face the 50-60 challenge, which means fewer than 50 people worship each week, and the average age is above 60. When you hear numbers like this, it can be easy to grow discouraged. Don't. Christ is still risen. He still sits on his throne, ruling over everything for the benefit of his church. Through word and sacrament, he still abides with us. It's important to understand that these issues are not unique to Wells. Religious participation nationwide has been declining for 30 years, especially among millennials, who are now the largest generation in America. While Wells is down 9% from our high, the Missouri Synod is down more than 15%. The biggest Presbyterian denomination is down almost 50%, as is the Episcopal Church. So when you look at all this statistical data, there are two mistakes we could make. The first is to panic, to despair. Remember, God is in control, and He doesn't ask for our statistical report. Instead, He asks us to faithfully and zealously proclaim His gospel and leave the results of that effort to Him. The second mistake is the flip side of that, to say, well, because God is in charge, I don't have a role to play. There's nothing that I can do. That is not a biblically justifiable position. St. Paul says we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We play a vital role in God's saving work. So what can we do to meet these challenges? Last fall, the members of Congregational Services spent a good deal of time looking at the demographic report. That began a process, steps each commission in Wells is taking to help Wells congregations meet some of the challenges. Our commissions on evangelism, schools, worship, discipleship, special ministries, and counseling are all developing nuts and bolts opportunities for churches to consider and address the situation. There isn't time here to discuss each of the dozens of approaches being developed, but let me explain just one to let you better understand the direction. For decades now, Wells churches have been opening early childhood centers at a rapid pace. These centers have done a beautiful job of telling little ones about Jesus, and that alone makes them worthwhile. But most child cares have not been a pathway to membership for parents. So by carefully studying early childhood centers that have been blessed as a stepping stone to membership, we've learned a great deal. And we're developing new strategies that any child care can now put into practice to bring more families into membership. It's an excellent example of how walking together can benefit us all. Again, that's just one of a wide range of ideas you'll be hearing about as we go forward. We're working to confront the toughest challenges head on. From the youngest millennials to the aging world churches, Wells is developing new ways to use the great blessing of the gospel to reach more souls.
Responding to these challenges and opportunities will be a central focus of our synod going forward. You'll hear more about specific ideas and overall progress. In all of this, we know that our plans and efforts are not what's most important. We have the unchanging gospel that remains at the heart of all we do. As always, we place our trust in the Holy Spirit, working through the means of grace to change hearts and to build God's church one soul at a time. Have a blessed Thanksgiving.